Love and happiness. This is from an Al Green album originally released in the early 1970s. The same album is one of the best-selling albums in a new record store in Chattanooga. It's on Main Street and has yet to open its doors. All of the sales at the Yellow Racket record store up to now have been online, with customers then driving by to pick them up. When it does finally open its doors, until the pandemic, their plan had been to open in April. Now they hope to open early next month. Their plan is for the space to be ultimately a retail record store, a full-service coffee shop, and a performance space for both local and touring artists. The store was conceived by Ben Vanderhart, who is himself a musician. He has a band called Telemonster. He also runs a record label, also called Yellow Racket. But the store, he said, has been a dream he's held for a long time. What's selling at the moment?
Right now, people are buying a lot of new records, and it's all over the place. You know, people have been buying records by Beach Boys and the Beatles. They've been buying stuff by SZA and Notorious B.I.G., and they've been buying stuff by The National and Vampire Weekend. We sold a lot of Al Green records in the first week. There's a little bit for everybody, I like to think.
That's all over the place, both in terms of the era in which it was created and stylistically. Who are your customers? Do you appeal to any particular part of the population, or like the music you're saying, all over the place?
I haven't measured the demographics. We don't ask people for their age, but in terms of most of the folks that I've seen come for curbside pickup are between the age of 20 and 35 or 40. It's a lot of college kids, you know, young professionals and people my age, you know, early 30s.
Most of the people who are buying vinyl records from you came of age at a point when vinyl records pretty much disappeared.
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it is that as sort of the format of listening to music developed, most of the evolution of different formats from vinyl to 8-track to cassette to CD, it evolved for the sake of convenience. The CD was obviously much more convenient than the vinyl record, and each format in between was sort of like, oh, hey, 8-tracks, we can listen in the car. CDs, of course, like you can listen on your computer, you can listen in the car. They're small and compact. How convenient. Well, guess what? The most convenient way to listen to music now is to listen to it online. But people are still physical beings. And so if you want to have a physical copy of the music, it no longer becomes about convenience. It becomes about what's the best way to listen. And vinyl records have artwork that's sort of larger than any other format. And there's just a whole culture around collecting vinyl right now. If you want to have a tactile experience with music, people are sort of reverting to vinyl. And if you want to listen for the sake of convenience, then you use the internet. Most folks in the demographic that I just mentioned, you know, 20 to 35, 40, I think they're doing just that. They're listening to music online, but when they find something they like, they want to collect it. They want to support the artist who made it. And so they go out and buy a copy and put it on their shelf.
It's always seemed to me that the records are for listening, whereas all those other formats you were talking about, it's as much about portability as it is about listening to it. It's convenience, as you say, but it's also, you can put it in the car and play it when you're in the car, which is a different experience, it seems to me, than when you sit down purposefully to listen to the music. Maybe you put headphones on to listen even closer.
Yeah, I think often people are listening to vinyl in the same way that you watch a movie. That's the thing that you're doing. You're sitting down to engage with a piece of art and really give it your attention. In a lot of other ways, you know, and sometimes you might put it on for background music. I mean, there's something that's, I love that feeling of, you know, decorating the house for Christmas and putting on Charlie Brown Christmas, the Vince Guaraldi Trio record. Like, to me, it's about the experience, about creating a vibe. It's not about convenience of it.
You mentioned before that you have a lot of used records. Did you have people sending you records and selling them to you, or did you go out to sales or wherever you go to find used vinyl?
The vast majority of it has been just buying personal collections. We connected with a gentleman who is kind of a dealer. You know, he would go around to record fairs, and so he had amassed a pretty large collection, and he was looking to sell it. So we bought his collection, and these are called bulk lots, you know. And word of mouth got around that we were starting a record store, and then my social media messages kind of started filling up with people saying, hey, are you buying records? I've got a collection that I'm looking to sell, and we're still buying records. So if any of your listeners, you know, have a large collection of records to sell, you know, we would love to come take a look at it and help find a new home for those records. But, you know, when the doors are open too, we also plan to buy smaller lots and let people come in and trade in 1, 2, 3, 5 records for store credit or cash. But so far, yeah, we've just been buying up collections from people who said, you know, I'm not really using these and I'd like to see them go to good use.
So you're going to have a pretty good stock in your store by the time you open, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I think right now we've probably got about 800 new records and I would say 1,500 to 2,000 pre-loved records on hand.
What does a pre-owned vinyl record sell for these days?
It really depends on condition. You know, there's a standard scale for vinyl collectors that ranges from poor to, you know, mint condition and about 8 other conditions in between. It really depends. Some records, you know, if they're not in great condition or they don't have a lot of resale value, you're talking 25 cents or a dollar. And if you find something that's really collectible, you might be looking at $50 or $150, you know, if it's a first UK pressing of a Beatles record. So that's a hard question to answer. I would say generally, you know, an average price for a pre-owned record is going to be anywhere from $5 to $15. And more collectible stuff will be up in the $20, $30 range, especially if it's in good condition. And new records are going for, you know, small indie bands on small labels, you know, records probably $18. And if you're buying something from a major label, by the time you get all the markups as it makes its way through the supply chain, it's probably somewhere around $30 to $40.
What about 45s? Is there a market for 45s anymore?
Yeah, there certainly is. It's a little bit more of a niche market because, you know, as we talk about, I think the growing contingency of people who are looking to buy records are doing so because they want to sit down and have like experience an album in the same way that you might watch a movie. With 45s, there's obviously a lot more changing that goes on because you get, you know, 3-4 minutes aside. You're talking singles. But there are certainly collectors who, that's their niche. That's what they love. I had someone come by the store the other day who said that they had a jukebox at home and they were looking for 45s to stock it with. There's definitely a market. The hard thing is finding 45s that still have their jackets.
Everything about what you're doing feels as if the wheel has turned and we're back to the 70s again, you know?
I think the world is more cyclical than we often admit. You look at a fashion trend, and I'm not saying this is a fashion trend. I think it's here to stay for a while. But you look at trends, and usually you can trace them back to a few decades before. And things that were popular when I was a kid are starting to come back around and become popular again because people who are my age are out in the world starting businesses or running departments at companies. It's always interesting to see which trends come back around. And I was reminiscing with a friend the other day about it's so funny to me to see critical music publications writing about late 90s and early 2000s emo punk. But I think it's because so many people, you know, who sort of make up the workforce today, that's what they were listening to when they were in middle school and high school.
Yeah, exactly. And while it's fun to listen to those songs, to have an artifact from the era, it's kind of a touchstone. It's a way to get back to a place that, as with all popular culture, you know, seems to have disappeared.
Yeah, nostalgia is an incredibly powerful force.
So you reckon the store will be ready to go in terms of receiving customers by the end of this month?
That's our goal. It might have to get pushed over into early August. We still have a lot of work to do and a lot of records to receive into the system and sort through and categorize and price. It's a lot of work for sure to be done, but our system's working. We're selling records online, and so all the elements are there. It's just kind of a matter of polishing everything, putting the finishing touches on and making the place look presentable for people to come in.
What's your online address?
It's yellowracketcha.com.
I have to say, I'm looking forward to when you open the doors for the store. I'd like to see what it looks like.
Yeah, it's a really magnetic space. When we post pictures online of the storefront or the inside of the store, those always seem to be the most popular ones. And everybody who sets foot in the store, their face just lights up with excitement. The space, again, I think it's so much of the draw for a lot of people who buy vinyl is about the physical and tactile nature of the experience. And so having a beautiful space in which to go buy records and talk about music with friends and buy a cup of coffee is all part of the draw.
You're going to have a coffee bar or some kind of counter where people can buy coffee and sit down and drink it?
Yeah, we're going to start small because eventually the shop will have kind of a full service coffee shop to it. We've got the space, but it doesn't seem smart to pour a lot of money into opening a coffee shop right now because that's not a place where people can go and spend a lot of time and mingle. You know, we're going to start small and get a brewer and brew some high quality coffee from folks like Goodman and Mad Priest and serve their coffee. And then over time, especially, you know, as restrictions start to loosen up and as we as a society kind of recover from the pandemic, then, you know, we do hope to expand the coffee service and make it a place where people can just come hang out and drink coffee and work and look at records.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's kind of surprising, really, that nobody's done that before. The other thing that occurs to me is how many musicians locally are making recordings. Is that something that you've looked into at all, representing the local music makers?
Yeah, we plan to have a locals section. And if there are any local artists listening to this broadcast who have a record, please reach out to us through social media or email because we'd love to stock your record. I've already had a few local artists who've reached out. My friend Ben Van Winkle came by the other day with 25 new pressings of his new album, which he's getting ready to release. And we hope to be able to help him with that and have some kind of event at the store when that's ready. We definitely want to do our part in promoting the local music scene and being advocates for everybody in town who's got a record and needs to find a bigger audience.
Yeah, I think that strikes me as something of a unique niche, you know, that didn't really exist before. Within the last 10 years, that's become something that's grown so dramatically that I think you could probably have a very viable local music section that both qualitatively and quantitatively is significant.
Yeah. Well, and as we've talked about many times before, the primary reason that I wanted to start a record label and then start a record store was to sort of just kind of plug these gaps that I saw in the music economy in Chattanooga and kind of help elevate what we're doing here and smaller musicians who are still kind of working the grindstone and trying to get their voice heard and also bringing in larger talent who has already kind of made it in a sense and giving them a better impression of what Chattanooga is and what we have to offer touring artists and or the music economy in general.
Find Yellow Racket Records online at yellowracketcha.com, where you can follow when they plan to open at 2311 East Main Street here in Chattanooga.